Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read that one verse, then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 15, read verse 6. Get thee out. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. And then he said in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, speaking of Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Anyone know what righteousness is? Did you ever think about that? I mean, we know what faith is. It gives a definition. But what is righteousness? You know what righteousness is? We just read it. It's believing God. Because to believe is to do. Righteousness is believing God. It's believing in God. I believe God. Now, many say they do, but they don't. And their lives prove it. You can watch a man's life. You can watch what a man says, what a man does. And you know, he either believes God or he doesn't. If you eat from this tree, you'll die. And they eat all day long. We see them. Believing that they'll not surely die. That's what they believe. I mean, if you're around them, if you're out in the boy and I are out in the world all day, and we're amongst others, and when you see that thing before your very eyes, they don't believe they'll surely die. And they feel that way because, and this is the age-old summary of, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. And if they believe God, they know that the heart was deceitfully wicked above all things. But not theirs, you see. Not their heart. They have the good one. They have the one good heart. And this they believe. And thus they call him Lord, just like those in Matthew 7. They perhaps do many wonderful works and even cast out devils. And yet the Bible says that he knows them not. Now concerning Abraham, if you go to Romans chapter 4. Brian, you need to go to mute. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham, what?
Believed God.
He believed God. That's all. He believed God. And it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. There's righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I'm sorry, I read verse 5, but look at verse 3. And that's true. That goes on from verse 4. What saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's very clear. How many today yet in sin debt? They still have a sin debt. Going about their whole life, we have whole religions, whole churches going about trying to clear their sin tab. It's like, maybe those of you who never ran a tab, perhaps never dragged, the tab's always bigger. You find out the tab's always much more than you thought it was. And so they go about their life trying to clear their tab, but to no avail. As it's by grace and grace alone that you're saved and that your tab can be made clean. I think the key here is two words. Why or how. Either why or how one believes God. And people come up with all these methods, why and how, about believing God. Can't one just as easily not believe God? You have to, you've got to go back, you've got to think in the natural here. Wouldn't it be just easier? It would be much easier not to believe God than to believe God. Why would you ever believe this book? This book, I've got all the book. Why would you believe this book? Naturally considered, one would never believe something like this. I thought about the Tales of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. One would never believe this. It's further out there than Alice in Wonderland. Adam, one guy, and sin came by one guy. What's sin? A tree, a serpent, no beginning, no end, a heaven, a hell, a father sacrificing his own son for others who were considered sinners, a virgin birth, crucifixion, resurrection, and on and on. Why would you believe that? Why would you believe that's how it all came to be? A religion that says that you got to eat my body and you have to drink my blood? Who would believe that? And yes, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe every word of it. I believe every jot. I believe every tittle. But why? How? Why don't I believe this instead of this? And why don't I believe this? And a lot of people, they believe parts of it, and they counterfeit it, and they twist it, and they try to make it their way. And why? Well, you see, I heard a preacher, and I believed him. I did. I heard a preacher, and I believed him. Melissa, she heard a preacher. Now, these weren't, I know both these, they weren't by today's definition, anything considered a great preacher or great orator or Billy Graham. Not at all. But I heard this preacher and I believed him. And she heard this preacher and she believed him. The girl heard a preacher and she believed him. But why? There's false preachers everywhere as we speak. Aren't there? Well, they can speak way better than the ones we all heard. And almost as many believe Muhammad as believe Christ. You start to get a picture here. So here I must defer to election, one of my favorite scriptures, Acts 13:48. I was born 13th and 48th. This is very easy for me to remember. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. Because he says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Who believed? Those that were ordered to eternal life. Now, you take Abram, our text, Abram, who became Abraham. Who'd Melchizedek come to? The priest of God. Came to Abram. Why didn't he come to Abram's old man? Why didn't he come to Abram's Haran, Abram's cousin? Came to Abram, Shemite. Why didn't he come to Japheth's people? Why didn't he come to Ham's people? Of all the millions on the earth here, even after the flood, came to Abram. The word of the Lord Did you see it? Came unto Abram. That doesn't happen with everybody. That's a very, very special thing. It didn't come to all these others mentioned. It came to Abram. So has it ever come to you, you see? Has it ever come? Because it must. And if it doesn't, then you don't have to believe in the counts. It has to come to you. It came to Abram. And did you believe it? Did you believe it? Someone asked me last week, I think it was, why the Jews? That's above my pay grade. Way above my pay grade. But you see, now here's what, God doesn't need a reason. And boy, that's very, very difficult for men to swallow. I texted a fellow this morning, and I said, ours is not the reason why, ours, but to do and die. Alfred Lord Tennyson, charge of the Light Brigade. Well, that's a great word. That's a great proverb. That's a great edict for Christians. We do wonder why. Why'd you eat that thing? You know? But it's not for us to wonder why. You see. That's not what we're supposed to do is wonder why. Why can't we eat from that tree? Looks good. You see? God said, believe. I think I preached a message some years back, because I said so. You remember? That was the message I preached? The quintessential classic parental line. Why do I have to do that? Because I said so. That's this whole book. That's pretty much the Bible. Now, do you believe it? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, well, explains the believe and the believe nots. Because he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And God said that he used, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's how we all heard. Foolishness of preaching. And he uses the simple things, but to confound the wise. So he doesn't think like we do, you see. You've heard me say so many times, A.W. Pink believed that 9 out of 10 were lost, and he was talking about the people in the church. I sent a lot of you a separation notice yesterday by A.W. Pink. And it's true. But they all believe. You can go to any church in the land this morning and they all believe. But the bleating of sheep usually decries otherwise. Those who believe God, they know sheep from goats. You have to. You have to know wheat from tares. You have to know sheep from goats. How are you going to come out from among what you don't know? And I think in summarization, if we were to summarize salvation in a word, conversion, I think it's exactly our text. Genesis 12:1, get out. Now, I don't know how that happened to you. That's how it happened to me. Get out. What did he tell Abram? Get thee out. And he did. And I did. And like him, I didn't know where I was going. I had no idea. No questions asked. Just get out. I've met very, very few people in this walk that can adapt or believe such. And if you've ever been there, if you've experienced this word, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that entails leaving others behind. Had to. I preached a message years ago. I remember where I was and I preached it. Still have it on cassette tape. Pitch your tent. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abram said, man, we got too much between us. We can't dwell together here. And he gave him the choice. He could have picked what Abraham had. The promised land. But if you remember, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Most do. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Nope. I read a deal by a Jew tour guide this morning, and he said, and this says it all, and it pretty much says the essence of the message that I'm speaking. It's either them or us. It's either them or us. Well, how'd that work out? Let's see. Just a quick summary of Lot's life when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was taken prisoner. Had to be rescued by Abram. Surrounded by Sodomites. Lived in the midst of Sodomites. Had to offer his daughter. Didn't have to, but he offered his daughter to be raped. His wife was turned to a pillar of salt. He gets drunk and sleeps with not one, but both of his daughters. How's that working out for you, Lot? Pitching your tent where you decide to go. How'd that work out for you? And yet, I see that as the plight of most of the people I come across. I'm going to do this, and I'm going here, and I'm going to do that. Now which way you want to pitch your tent, Lot? And now here's the wisdom. Go where the Lord tells you, even if you don't know where that is. Hebrews 11:8. Let's go to Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews 11:8. Because it's worth reading. Well, it's all worth reading. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, get thee out, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now that's faith. It's an example of faith. And that's the Lord. And exactly why most won't or can't follow him right there. Because they always have a condition. Because they always must know where and why. You've heard me say many times, for me, the Lord usually comes out of the clear blue when I least expect it. And if you require such details, you'll never hear from the Lord. Because what you hear from the Lord is get out. Get out. Get thee out. I'm still getting out. All these years later, I'm still getting out. And I'll be such until I'm out. You see, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. If you're still there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10, he said, By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You want to know God? Believe God. Believe God. And then get out. That's how you do it. Get out. Every apostle, they left straightway. We won't go into the details. Every one of them, follow me, left the boat. left the tax office. They left straightway. They left. No studying. No praying. No searching scriptures. Get out. Bye. You see? He told Saul on the road to Damascus, who became Paul the Apostle, arise and go. I had the thought that man, he dams up and stagnates everything. Brother Jack Campbell and I talked about that. He's a waterman. And man, they have to dam things up, and that water doesn't move, it becomes stagnant. But all God's water is free. Falls from the sky, it flows, and the tides ebb, and they circle the earth. God breaks out and sets free. And I thought about that. I didn't make a note of it. It's the same in our natural birth. If there's one thing that I've heard in the births that I've been associated with, get thee out suits it very, very well. Push! Get thee out! You see. He doesn't stay in there. He'll die if he stays in there. He's got to come out. He's born. You and I are reborn. God said, get thee out.